Hey guys, this is Gabe Andrade, the lead pastor of Tree of Life Church. Our vision is to lead people to become all-in followers of Jesus Christ. Our hope is that this podcast inspires you to grow deeper in your relationship with God and others. Enjoy this message.
For those of you who are tuning in, thank you for being with us online. Welcome, welcome. Welcome. God put a word in my heart. And I've been in this series called Unlock. Unlock. I want to share with you why this came about, because the title of this message is Unlocked the Gift. Raise your hand if you've ever been locked out of your car. That's a lot of people. It's a universal problem, apparently. Have you ever been locked out of your house? Anybody? Just been locked out, right? It's a frustrating thing to be locked out of something that rightfully belongs to you. It's a frustrating thing. And there are so many people in the body of Christ, there are so many people that don't have, they're not getting access to what rightfully belongs to them. They're not receiving what God has already given. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that, but a lot of you know that I had COVID. I had the Rona, right, as I say. I had the Rona. I had a brother tell me he had poison ivy. I said, man, you have a roncha, and be careful for the Rona. What is it with it? Never mind. But anyway, I'm not even going to tell you what roncha means. It just means a rash, basically. Anyway, Vaseline and powder works really good. So, but here's what God spoke to me. While I was recovering, because it really hit me with all most of the symptoms, I just didn't lose my taste because I was refusing to lose my taste. I love food way too much. So I kept brushing and brushing my teeth like four times a day, and you know, the tongue scraper thing, whatever. I didn't want to lose my taste, man. But I got the fever. I think the highest it was 101. And then it was lingering around 99 for about 4 to 5 days. I was very fatigued and weak. And I was congested, and I couldn't really, I just kept coughing up some mess, you know. And that has lingered a little bit longer than what it should have. So my voice is not fully recovered yet. But in Jesus' name, I'm healing. I'm good. I tested negative, so no worries, y'all. I'm good. But in that time, I couldn't just sit still. I stayed home, but I got up at 5 a.m. and walked the neighborhood and prayed. I couldn't just sit there and do nothing, so I began to seek God and pray and began to worship in my room. And then I'd get up and go hiking, because there's like hiking trails close to my house, and I know when people are there and when they're not, because I live 5 minutes from there, and I go there on a weekly basis. So I would go pray. I'd walk 3 miles, 5 miles. On day 5, I ran a mile because I wanted to open up my lungs. I just didn't want to stay still, because I believe that movement creates motivation, but I believe that we were created to move, and once something stops moving, that means it's dying. So I was refusing to just sit there. But God began to speak to me, and I began to think about my immune system, because I was taking a lot of vitamins, you know, vitamin B. I even took shots in my pumpies, you know, it was painful. I took a couple of shots, and I mean, I wish I had a little bit more cushion back there, because it was straight. It was like right there, it hit me hard. And I was just like, man, I need some more cushion right there. But B12 shots is what it was, and just all these vitamins and juices, and people were bringing us food, and pozole, I had some good food, man. It was great. But the Lord began to speak to me, because I was thinking, what was fighting this virus in my life? It was my immune system. My immune system was fighting and attacking the virus, so I kept strengthening my immune system, and the Lord began to speak to me and saying that the church is my body, and the church should have an immune system. And what does that even look like? And how do we strengthen? How does the church become healthy and nutritious? And how can we give the church vitamins, spiritually speaking? And the Lord began to show me that we have more authority than what we realize and what we use. The Lord began to show me there are promises that are locked up for people that need to be unlocked. The Lord began to show me that there are people that are sick that they don't have to be. He began to show me that there are people that are depressed that they don't have to be. There are people that are battling anxiety and they're panicking, then they don't have to be. And then I started thinking, well, what does the gospel say? What does the Bible say? And I began to think about Jesus and when he was on his mission and how he was going to those problems and issues, and he had keys And he was unlocking things. And the Bible even says that Jesus made the statement that angels were descending and ascending upon the Son of Man, upon Jesus, and they were bringing gifts, and he was unlocking things for people, and miracles, and signs, and wonders, and he was doing certain things. And so I began to think about Tree of Life, and I'm like, okay, so how healthy is the body of Christ? Are people active in their gifts? Are people functioning in their gifts? Is the hand working? Are the feet working? Are the toes? Are the ears working? Is the heart functioning good within the body of Christ? Are the ears functioning? Can people really discern and hear what God is saying in the body of Christ? I begin to think about that. And so that's why this message and series has come about. So Jesus is asking his disciples, what are people saying about me? What are they saying about me? And they said, well, they think you're a prophet. What does a prophet do? He speaks and he foretells the future. He speaks the oracles of God. A prophet hears from God and he says what's been said. He hears and he obeys. He speaks with boldness and confidence. That's what a prophet does. He speaks. So they thought he's a prophet because he speaks. And then he says, well, who do you say that I am? So we'll read this in Matthew 16, 15. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? That's so important. Who do you say that he is? Is he just a prophet? Was he just a man that existed with good values and good morals? Who do you say that he is? Because a lot of people, there's evidence that Jesus existed, but some people just say he's a prophet. He's just a man, a good man. Just like Gandhi, just like Muhammad and these other men that have lived. It's just another person. The good person with good, you know, just with good teachings. But who do you say that he is? And then Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, which means anointed one. He was anointed as priest, as king. He was anointed as prophet. The Son of the living God. You are. This is who you are. And this is what Jesus says to him. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you. So you know that you're blessed when you know who Jesus is? Amen, somebody? Now see, I haven't had interaction in a while, so I'm going to bug you a little bit today. Is that all right? Because when we go virtual, I don't hear nothing. I'm just believing that you're there. So Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. What a name. For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. You didn't get this from a person. But my Father who is in heaven. Now we're going to either live by reason or we're going to live by revelation. By reason meaning what, you know, you could wrap your mind around or the logic behind it, or how is this even possible? Or how, you know, your limited mindset and mine as well. Or you're going to live by revelation about what God reveals to you. The reason why I'm here today is because God has revealed himself to me through the Son of Jesus, through Jesus. The reason why I believe in healing is because God has healed me, but I've seen other people healed, so I believe that God can heal. So he is the God who heals. The reason why I believe that he is Jehovah Shalom, meaning peace, is because I have peace in my life. So he's revealed himself to me as peace. The reason why I can say that God is Jehovah Jireh, because he has provided for me. Does anyone else know him as provider today? Right? Absolutely. The Bible has so many different names of God. We know that Jesus is a name that's given above every name. But in the Old Testament, when they encountered God, God would reveal himself in a way that was personal to that person. Moses would come before him and say, who are you? What's your name? And then God says, I am that I am. God revealed himself to Moses as the great I am. My point is in saying all of that is that right now, right where you are, the key to the change and transformation in your life is revelation. What is God revealing to you about your circumstance and situation? If we get stuck in reason, we're stuck. We're locked. But once we get revelation, it unlocks something that is so super powerful. So what I'm praying for you in this series is that the revelation unlock for you so that you can receive what God has already given to you. Now, people give us gifts around Christmas. How many of you guys are gift card people? Like, just give me a gift card. Would you raise your hand? That's a lot of people. So people give us gift cards. How many of you prefer cash? Just don't lie. Just raise your hand. No, just give me some cash. You know what I'm saying? Give me some cash. So people give us gift cards, and I just put them in my drawer, and I forget about them. What good is a gift card in the drawer if I never use it, right? So I just forget about it. And then later, I'm going through my drawers, and I'm like, oh, there's a gift card to Starbucks. There's a gift card to Olive Garden. I haven't even used it. It's been a year or two. I forget that it's there. There are so many people that don't even know what they have. They don't know what's available to them, and they've just stashed it away. And they're just content with, you know what, I'll receive forgiveness, I'll receive salvation, but there is so much more. Would you repeat that? There is so much more. So, the next verse, verse 17. Now, I'm sorry, we're still reading in Matthew, actually. Wasn't done reading that. So he says, I say to you that you are Peter. After Peter said what he said, and on this rock I will build my church. That means called out ones, ecclesia. And the gates of Hades, the gates, the powers of hell, death, the grave, shall not prevail against it. Death can't hold the church back. Right? The grave cannot hold the church back. The church has the news, the good news, the gospel of salvation, the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. And because Jesus died and rose again, we rise and live forever. Death can't hold us back. So then he says to Peter, I will give you the keys, because he had the keys, of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth, that means to lock, to forbid, whatever you lock on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose, unlock on earth will be unlocked or loosed in heaven. So what Jesus is saying is, pray this way, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, we lock up what God forbids. We say no to what heaven says no to. We say yes to what Jesus says yes to. We align with God's will. If you believe that, say amen. So if you have keys, would you get your keys out? Make some noise. Does anybody have keys that you don't know what they're for? You just left them on there? He said, I don't know what these are for, but they must be important because I put them on here in the first place. I think that's what it's like for the believer. Is you have keys, you go, I don't know what this one's for, but it's there. I got keys, I just don't know what they're for. And that's what it's like for the believer who has said yes to Jesus, but you have no idea what the keys are for. So, let's talk about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God can be such a mystery. Sometimes it's hard to really understand it because it's not an earthly thing. It's a spiritual thing. And you have to have spiritual eyes and spiritual ears. That's why Jesus said, he who has ears, let him hear. Who have eyes, let him see. You know, what God is doing. So then Paul explains the kingdom a little bit more. And he says this. Romans 14, 17 says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. How many of you guys like to eat, you know? How many of you guys hope that your favorite restaurant will be in heaven? And your favorite food, right? Like, you just hope, like, God, please let there be a Chick-fil-A in heaven. It's blessed. And let it be open on Sundays, God. Please. And so, but what he's saying is, it's not earthly. Now, I do believe we'll dine and have food with the Lord in heaven, because he created it. I just believe that. And the kingdom of God is not tacos or enchiladas or horchata, right? It's not coffee. It's not your favorite, you know, pumpkin cream Coke brew. It's not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. In the Holy Spirit. Follow me well. Follow me well. Do you know anyone? Raise your hand if you know anyone that's not right with God. Just raise your hand. That's what righteousness means. It means to be right with God. The kingdom of God, it's about righteousness. What is righteousness? Well, think of it this way. Jesus was righteous, is righteous. He came as a righteous person to die for the unrighteous so that the unrighteous could become righteous. Jesus came being right with God, the Son of God. We know that he is the image of the invisible God, and we know that he is God. Jesus came as righteous person. He died for the unrighteous so that the unrighteous could become righteous. So, if you understand that, say amen. If you believe that you are righteous, say amen. I want you to say, I am righteous in Christ. That means you have peace. Leave that scripture up that I just had up there. That means you had peace. You have peace. Raise your hand if you know someone who has a lot of anxiety, worry, and just anxiousness, right? Raise your hand if you have somebody. And if it's you, no one has to know. I mean, God knows. That's me. If you focus and meditate on the fact that you've been made right with God and that no matter what, no one can take that away from you, you'll have peace. He gives perfect peace to the one whose mind is stayed on him. Righteousness. He's given you the mind of Christ. You have peace. Whenever you lack peace, the Bible says pray. Be anxious for nothing, but pray about everything. Why? Because you got to remember that you're righteous. What does that look like? You can come boldly and with confidence before the throne of grace and have, you can obtain mercy and you get help in a time of need. So you remember that you're righteous. You got peace. You know anybody that has the spirit of heaviness? You know anybody that struggles with depression, with gloom, that they don't have any joy? Do you know anybody? Raise your hand. Do you see the progression here? When you understand by way of the spirit of truth that you are righteous, you have peace because Jesus was a peace offering on your behalf. You have peace, shalom from heaven, shalom. Then you have joy. And then you understand that if I feel sad, that is an indication and a trigger for me to worship God. That when I feel held back, when I feel like complaining, that's when I need to praise God. That's when I need to say thank you. That's when I need to lift my voice. That's when I need to lift my hands. That's when I need to push, you know, stop or whatever on the Netflix, and I need to put some worship on. And I need to speak to my soul and remind myself that I am righteous and I have peace with God. So there's no reason why anything on this realm in the earth should hold me back or should rob me of my joy. There's nothing. I need to unlock this in my life. Too many believers are anxious, worried, and depressed. That tells me that we're not in the Holy Spirit. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Thy kingdom come, your will be done. Now, the kingdom of God is a bit of a mystery. There was a man that came to Jesus and said, hey, hold on. Hold up, Jesus. You on fire. The way you speak, whew, never heard anybody teach like you. Where'd you go to seminary? Man, God, your theology is out of this world. The way you pray for people, like it happens. Like you have demonstration. There's power. You've healed the sick, opened blind eyes. You're doing some crazy stuff. You are the talk of the town. What is your secret? Jesus says, you got to be born again. Born again? What does that look like? Born again? I'm an old man. How am I supposed to be born again? How can I go back into my mother's womb? That's gross, Jesus. How is that supposed to even happen? And Jesus said, you can't see or perceive. You can't understand. You see, where there's no revelation, the people run wild. If you don't see what God is doing, you're going to live in a way that's out of control. You need to see what God is doing. You can't see the kingdom of God. You can't see what he wants you to see unless you're born from above. And he says, well, you got to explain that further to me. I don't get it. I don't get what you're saying. He says, you got to be born of water and of spirit for you to enter in the kingdom of God. Now, he's not talking about the afterlife. When you die, you enter in the kingdom. He says, you can enter the kingdom of God now. So you can enter that space of influence where the kingdom of God is God's influence. It's God's will manifested in the earth. It's when what God wants to happen actually happens because people are surrendered to what God is doing. Now, are there things in the earth that God doesn't want to happen? You think God wants a child to be abused? You think God even hates divorce? Does it still happen? He doesn't hate the person that got divorced, but he hates divorce. Why? Because what does it do to the kids? What does it do to the legacy? Are there things happening on the earth that God is not God's will? Yes, why? Because we have a will. We have a will. The will of man, the will of, that's why we pray, your will be done, not mine, because we're selfish in nature. So he says to this man, you got to be born from above. You want to enter into the kingdom, you got to be born of spirit and of water, water of the spirit. And he says, I still don't get it. Jesus is like, aren't you a teacher and you don't get this stuff? So here's how he explains it. John 3:8. Are y'all still tracking with me? Okay. The wind blows where it wishes. And you hear the sound of it. Have you heard wind? You can hear it. I love the way it sounds with the trees, right? Even the trees praise God. I love the wind. But you can't tell where it comes from. Yeah, it's coming from the east or the west or the south, north. But you don't really know where it started. It's kind of a mystery. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Wind. Interesting. Now, I had a pastor tell me this. He said, wind is interesting because you can either fight against the wind. Have you ever felt like you were fighting against the will of God? You can either, like, you know, have you ever tried to walk in a really bad storm? Because I'm like a storm chaser in my other life. No, I'm just playing. I have no other life. But I want to be a storm chaser. I'm not going to lie to you. I love storms. And so when it's bad outside, I'm out there. I'm like, Lord, you are powerful and amazing. Look at this wind. In Jesus' name. And then the lightning strikes. I'm like, Lord, help me. But you can feel and that you can resist. But if you just turn around, and if you're going that way and the wind's behind you, you adjust. If you're in a boat, a sailboat, you can use the wind or adjust to the wind so that you could move forward. Such is your life. The wind is blowing. We just haven't adjusted our sail to the movement of the Holy Spirit. You can't stop it. You can resist it. But your life's going to be very difficult and hard. Or you can just yield to the Spirit and surrender. And it makes all the difference. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and empty and dark. Would you repeat that? Formless, empty, and dark. One more time. Formless, empty, and dark. It didn't say the earth, the heavens were formless, empty, and dark, because that's what God is, our Father in heaven. But the earth was just matter. It was formless, empty, and dark. Then the Spirit of God is hovering over the earth, the face of the deep, and he begins to speak. Let there be light. No longer is the earth dark. Now it's filled with light. And it's filled with truth. And that truth begins to form everything, the atmosphere, the stars, all the planets, the galaxies. It begins to form the sea creatures, the animals, the insects, the trees, all the plants. It begins to form everything because it was no longer dark. Now it was filled with the light of truth. And I want you to know that when you stare at something that's beautiful to you, anybody have any pets besides myself? Understand, because I love my pet. And I love animals. I love horses. I love lions. I love eagles. I love animals. I love deers. When you see a beautiful creature, understand that is God's spoken word manifested in flesh. That is a prophetic utterance that the Spirit of God, he spoke, and there was light, and it filled empty space, and it took form. You see it? You follow me so far? When the Spirit of God fills a space, there's light, the knowledge of God's truth. And it begins to fill the person. And the person begins to transform into the image of Christ. Have you ever seen a house that's empty? What happens to the house that's empty? It deteriorates. Isn't that amazing? That you just stop living somewhere? And it just starts declining. It starts going to chaos. It starts deteriorating, destructing, right? You can do that to a vehicle as well. The battery would drain if it's not used. Amazing. God never intended for your vessel to be void of his Spirit. He never intended for you as a person to be filled with darkness, which is ignorance, deception, lies. He never intended for you to be filled with darkness, which is what's left. If we're left to our own devices, if we're left to ourselves, we are dark, we are ignorant, we're deceived. So if we're not filled with the Spirit of God, there is no formation. We're empty. Instead, we're depressed. Instead, we're anxious. Instead, we're sick. Instead, we're believing lies about who we are, and our significance and value is found in things rather than in God. And so, and if we're not filled with the Spirit of God, we're left. We're left in the dark, and we stumble about in darkness. But when the Spirit of God fills you, you begin to be filled with the Spirit of truth. And you begin to be filled with what God thinks about you. You begin to be filled with revelation. And all of a sudden, your life transforms. How many of you guys want to be filled with the Spirit of God? Absolutely. So now let's fast forward and let's talk about the new covenant. Jesus Christ, this is the birth of the church, and we are the church, the called out ones. Now Jesus tells his disciples, we're going to follow this in Acts 1:3, and I'm going to move fast now. Okay, during the 40 days after he suffered and died, so after he was raised from the grave, he was around his disciples. He appeared to the apostles from time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. And he talked to them about the kingdom of God. About what? The kingdom of God. So once he was eating with them, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. So what gift did he promise? Well, here it is in 5. John baptized with water, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Baptized with water, submerged in the water. Now you're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. So just in John, the Gospel of John, Jesus is about to go to the cross, and he tells the disciples, I'm leaving, but I'm really not going to leave you. I'll be with you even to the end of the age. I'm leaving in flesh, but I'm going to be here in spirit, the Holy Spirit. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I will be in the midst of you. So he says this in verse 15, John 14, 15. Read it with me. If you love me, keep my commandments. Read it again. If you love me, keep my commandments. Next verse. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. So, just like Jesus, okay? Just like in the beginning, the Spirit hovered over the face of the deep, the Spirit of God descended upon Jesus like a dove when he was in water. And so let's read 16. And I will ask them, okay, we already read that. So here's the advocate. Here's the Holy Spirit. Would you say this? The Spirit of truth. Say that again. God said, let there be light, and there was light. This is what fuels the vessel. And the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. When you are a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ, he is with you, but are you really baptized in the Holy Spirit to where he's really filling you and you're filled with the Holy Spirit? That's the question. Now, so Jesus told them, wait. And so they waited. They waited 50 days after the Passover. And here's what happened in Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. That's important. They were united. They were all awaiting the Spirit to fill them. So here's what happens in verse 2. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. There's that word wind again. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. What did it do? See, the world, the earth was empty. We find ourselves empty without the Spirit of God. And it filled the house where they were sitting. Next verse, verse 3. Then there appeared to them divided tongues. I want you to picture that. Like, picture a lengua, like an actual tongue that was on fire. And everyone had one of those above them, a tongue that's on fire right above them. And you're wondering, why a tongue? Why a tongue? Seriously. And it sat on each of them. So just imagine right now that you hear a sound of a mighty rushing wind, And you're like, okay, the Spirit of God is definitely here. Something's happening. And then you see tongues just rest on each person. Una lengua, a tongue. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And what did they begin to do? They began to speak with other tongues. That's why it was tongues of fire. As the Spirit gave them utterance. So here's what it looked like. When the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the deep, God spoke. When the Spirit fills you, you're going to speak. When the Spirit shows up, words are spoken. They're not just any words. They're prophetic words. They're God's words. Now, why did they speak in other tongues? Why were there different tongues? Because there were people from different nations there. So just imagine this. Just imagine this. There's a person, that tongue comes upon them, and they're just like, gracias, Señor, tú eres bueno. Tu reino está con nosotros. Te alabamos, te glorificamos. Jesucristo es rey. Recibimos salvación para todas las naciones. And then a person that knows the language says, amen. And ¿hablas español? No, no hablo español. Well, no, I just said it in Spanish. No, I don't speak Spanish. They spoke in languages that they did not know for the people that needed to hear it in their language. What fills you forms you. What fills you, if you're filled with lust, it's going to form your life with false intimacy. If you're filled with fear, if you're filled with all these news and these theories and all this mess and who can be trusted, it's going to form your anxiety. It's going to form your panic. It's going to form fear. If you fill yourself with the seeds of doubt, it's going to form into a life with no faith. Are you with me? But when the Holy Spirit fills you, you understand that you're righteous, you have peace, you have joy, but you speak. Let me prove it to you. Peter, they were making fun of the people. Have you ever seen someone drunk? Did you raise your hand? And this is a harder question. Have you ever been drunk? Y'all better stop. I have. I'm not going to lie. It's embarrassing. So anyway, they were making fun of them, saying, these are all drunk folks. They're acting a fool. They were filled with the Spirit. Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what Scripture says. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. Peter gets up and he says, no, they're not drunk. This is a fulfillment of the prophetic word that was already spoken to the prophet Joel. He was influenced by the Holy Spirit. Here's what he said. So Acts 2:17 says this, in the last days, how many of you know we're in the last days? Why? Because of all the things that are happening. God says, I will pour out my Spirit upon all people. God is the only one who can pour himself out to everyone, and he gives himself completely to everyone, but he is himself whole still. He doesn't run out of himself. He's not empty of himself. God can do that. Someone say amen to that. So I will pour out my Spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will speak. They will prophesy. They will say what God is saying. They will foretell the future. Your sons and daughters will begin to utter the utterance of God. They will say things, the promises of God. They will say what we need to hear. Your sons and daughters will speak. When the Spirit shows up, the Spirit speaks. And your young men will see visions. And if you consider yourself young, maybe someone else doesn't, but I consider myself young, we'll see visions. You'll begin to imagine and see what God is doing. You'll see it. You'll see this is what the Lord is doing. And your old men, all the old men, you're going to dream some dreams. Old women and men, not just men. It's men, mankind. You will dream dreams. You see, everyone has ambitions and dreams. So does God. Have you ever thought about that? Well, I got a dream. I got plans. So does God. God's got dreams. And he wants us to dream his dreams. Amen? So that's what happens when the Spirit of the Lord comes. 18. In those days, I will pour out my Spirit, even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. They will speak. The last verse. And I will cause wonders in heaven above and signs on earth below, blood and fire and clouds of smoke. Do we have smoke in America because of fires? All right, next verse. The sun will become dark and the moon will turn blood red. Have we had eclipses in the last 100 years? Several of them? Yes. Before the great and glorious day of the Lord arrives. That's happening. But here's the promise. Verse 21. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen. So you can clap. Let's clap before the Lord. So I know it took me some time to really explain all that. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to stand in this moment. The world is going to fill you with deception. It's going to fill you with ideas and concepts. The world will fill you with lust. The world will fill you with all the things that we struggle with. Whatever we're struggling with, I guarantee you there's a steady diet of it. Did you just hear what I said? Whatever it is that's plaguing you, there's a steady diet of it. It keeps filling you. Because what fills you forms you. Okay? So what does that tell me? We need to unlock the gift of the Holy Spirit. We need to unlock the gift. In a few moments, I'm going to pray for you to receive the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to lay hands on those who really want me to lay hands on them because it's biblical. Laying on the hands is a doctrine that when people would receive the Holy Spirit, it's because someone laid hands on them. That's not the only way to receive it. The people that were in the room, they didn't have someone laying hands. But then I'm going to read a scripture to you because it hurts me that the body of Christ is plagued with anxiety, sicknesses, dysfunctions, addictions, and depression. If it bothers me, how much more the Father in heaven? How much more the Father? So here's the last scripture, Acts 8:14. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that the people of Samaria, considered outsiders, foreigners, considered Gentiles, had accepted God's message, they sent Peter and John there, the disciples. As soon as they arrived, they prayed for these new believers to receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them, for they had only been baptized in the name of Jesus, our Lord Jesus. What does that mean? You can believe in Jesus and not be filled with the Spirit. You can believe in Jesus and still be filled with deception. Unfortunately, because there's still concepts. There's still things that were said to you when you were a kid. There's still trauma that has taken place that's really formed your life. There's still offenses. There's still things that are happening within your world that do not reflect the Spirit of truth. It is possible for you to believe in Jesus and not be filled with the Holy Spirit. But here's what Peter and John did. They laid their hands upon these new believers and they received the Holy Spirit. For those of you who want that, I will lay hands on you. No problem. Hand sanitizer will be my anointing oil. Amen. But I want to follow along with what the scriptures have said. Why? Because I want you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. When I say receive the Holy Spirit, your job is simply to say whatever comes to mind. It could simply be, thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, thank you. Whatever you do, do not stay silent. The Bible says, and it shall be a river that flows out of you. Out of your spirit will flow rivers of living water. The only thing that can stop the rivers from flowing is for you to shut your mouth. You open your mouth and you say, thank you. You open your mouth and you say, hallelujah. You open your mouth and say, God, I surrender. You open your mouth and you say, yes, because when the Spirit shows up, the Spirit speaks every time. No fear, because fear is hesitation. Fear will keep you from surrendering. That's why we sang surrender. The only thing you do is, God, I don't want to be filled with darkness. I want to be filled with light. What's going to happen? You know what? You've seen too many movies, guys. You've seen too many things on YouTube. It's not that crazy. It's simply being filled with the Spirit of God and yielding and knowing things that you didn't know before. and speaking things that you didn't speak before. Instead of complaining, instead of affirming that you're sick or that you're depressed or that you're anxious, you start saying, I am healed, I overcome, I will praise him until I experience the joy of the Lord. Depression, the spirit of heaviness, no. I will praise my heavenly Father until this breaks off of me, because I'm filled with the Spirit of God. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is healing. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is peace. There's joy, because we've been made righteous.
Thanks for listening to the message of the week. Help us spread the good news of the gospel by sharing this message with friends and family. For more information, visit our website, treeoflife.church, or across social media at Tree of Life Church. See you next week.